All right, so we're in Heavenly Places, page 50, if you got the book, or February 13, which is today, and it's Friday, too. That's important to someone here. Okay. And it's titled Abundantly Pardoned. Starts off with Isaiah 55, verse 7. And it says, let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts. And let him return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. And we're all living proof of this fact, all of us here, every single solitary one of us. Praise God for your salvation. Amen. Anyway, she goes on. She says, many do not move in the confidence of a living assurance that Christ is pleading before the Father as our intercessor. Christ has identified himself with our necessities and is able to supply every peculiar need of our weakness. During his life on this earth, he took the attitude of a suppliant and earnest petitioner, seeking at the hand of the Father a fresh supply of strength, that he might be invigorated and refreshed and come forth with words of encouragement and lessons of consolation to impart to human beings. His words are to brace every soul for duty and strengthen every soul for trial. That's amazing. That's one of the beauties of the Word. I mean, no matter what you're dealing with in life, you go into that book and it'll always bless you. I mean, he wasn't kidding when he says he's going to give us peace, not as the world gives it, but the way, you know, the peace, it's just amazing. So she goes on, and it says, as Christ in his humanity sought strength from his Father that he might be unable to endure trial and temptation, so are we to do. We are to follow the example of the sinless Son of God. Daily we need help and grace and power from the source of all power. We are to cast our helpless souls upon the One who is ready to help us in every time of need. Too often we forget the Lord. Self gives way to impulse, and we lose the victories that we should gain. And a good way to illustrate that would be I wouldn't say like a backslidden Christian, because they're already pretty well off the path. But there's a lot of people in the world that claim to be Christians, or actually are, you know, as far as they understand it, they're Christians, and the Lord winks at their times of ignorance like he does us. So, you know, you can't judge people. And even though you know what they're doing is wrong, they might not know what they're doing is wrong. And so you just can't assume that they're in sin, because if they don't know it's sin, the Lord's going to wink at that, just like he winked at it for you until you realize what you were doing, then you knocked it off, right? But my point always brings me back to the elevator races that me and my brother used to do when we were, it seemed every year. You know, I think I was like age 9 or 10 when I started doing them with Mike. And let's say I'm 10, he was 8. And this is the freedom you had in the 60s. I mean, you know, dad gives you a bike and you're gone all day. Or you have to go to the hospital because mom's giving birth to another sibling. And so, being one of 11 kids. But at this time, I think we only had like 7 or 8 kids at the time, my parents. And so while we're waiting, we would, you know, run around in the hospital and have fun. Because, like I say, back in the 60s, this was right around the time that Chester, the molester, used to show up all over the neighborhood. This one guy was called Lefty in our area. And they were out there. And then the priests, of course, because I knew some of the kids that got molested. I never got annoyed by the priests, but I do know some people that were. So that was just starting out. The molesting priests, that's been going on since day one. I mean, 60 A.D., back in their the Dachi documents. I have a link to it on the RCC and sex page. They actually put in writing that we're having a problem, guys. You guys got to quit messing with the little boys. And, you know, in today's language, kind of. And that's what they were talking about in 60 A.D. when some of the Roman Christians were having issues in that area. But anyway, my point was, when we were doing these elevator races, like he'd be in one, I'd be in the other, and you could see the lights. You cram your face up against the door, and you can look in the crack, and you could see the light from the other elevator going up, and I would scream out, and he'd scream back. And so, you know. But we'd end up in these different areas of the hospital, and I knew everybody was mostly considering themselves Christians, especially Catholics. And you guys know where I'm going with this, because you've heard me talk about this before, but a lot of people forget the Lord. And there's a lot of times we went into areas that we shouldn't have been in, like intensive care. Well, I don't even think they had it back then, but they had areas that were, you know, bad areas of the hospital. I'd sneak in those areas. Or you see the stuff on TV or whatever the case may be. You know, my memory could be fogged in that area as far as I'm concerned, but we all know, we've all seen it. The doctor comes out, he's got his head down, the family starts crying, the doctor says, there's nothing we could do, all you can do is pray. And so everybody collapses in tears because they forgot God. They haven't been in his word for years. They haven't looked back and see his hand move. They haven't seen anything. And so when he says pray, it's like, oh, it's hopeless, the kid's going to die. Very few people would actually pray and do it right in that respect. And still, people that haven't prayed in years or even for the first time, sometimes the Lord's hand moves even there because he reads the heart. He knows where the words are coming from. But all too often, we forget the Lord. Self gives way to impulse, and we lose the victories that we should gain. And even if it's little things, you know, just a butterfly wing, little things can become so powerful in watering seeds 20 years down the road. You're in a situation, it's kind of heavy. Things are going not your way, and you just step back for a moment, even though you're in the midst of it, and a thought comes to mind about a butterfly wing that you remember, you know, 20 years ago, and it hits home and puts the smile on your face during the trial. Then when I say butterfly wing for the new people here, we praise the Lord for the butterfly wings as well as the mountains moving. And the smallest thing I could think to come up with would be the butterfly wing, because I remember one time I was walking out in the, you know, the back of the land here with that little forest, and I was out there in prayer, and the Lord allowed a butterfly to land on one of those sticker bushes next to me. And you know the kind of sticker bush. You run around in your backyard and you step on a sticker bush that's on the ground and it stings you and it hurts. Well, if you don't cut them, which I let it grow wild in the back for the bunnies and, you know, and stuff like that, those things get 6 to 9 feet tall. Well, this one was only about 5 foot, so I was able to look down on it. And a butterfly landed on it. And, it, you know, the proboscis, that coil or whatever, the young furls it, starts jamming. And all of a sudden, boom, he goes down for the count. He's drinking. And, I mean, that was enough to, you know, bless my heart as I was in prayer. But looking at that wing with the light shining through it, because the sun was right behind him, and I was looking through his wing at the sunset, it's like, wow, something as small as that can glorify God. But we have a tendency to forget the Lord, as she says here. So she goes on. She says, If we are overcome, let us not delay to repent and accept the pardon that will place us on vantage ground. And that's good, to, you know, like, because a lot of us, yeah, we know, you shouldn't have done it immediately. As soon as you can, get on your knees and ask the Lord, please forgive me. And even if you can't get on your knees right away, start repenting and, you know, say, I'm sorry. You know, he knows your heart. He knows you're serious. So she says, if we repent and believe, the cleansing power from God will be ours. His saving grace is freely offered. His pardon is given to all who will receive it. Yeah, I mean, you can reject it. If you sit there and wallow in the mire and forget all about the blessings he has promised you, well, then you can reject it. So she says, God will always accept confession if the evil that has been done is repented of. Our Heavenly Father makes the declaration, as I live, I have no pleasure in the death of the wicked, but that the wicked should turn from his way and live. Ezekiel 33:11. over every sinner that repents, the angels of God rejoice with songs of joy. Not one sinner need be lost. Full and free is the gift of saving grace. We are living in the day of preparation, especially now. She's talking over 100 years ago, but now it's overwhelmingly obvious, especially now that the prophetic events are speeding up so quickly. But she says, we are living in the day of preparation. We must obtain a full supply of grace from the divine storehouse. The Lord has made provision for every day's demand. But if you don't read your Bible daily, well, don't expect a lot of victories in your walk or overcoming or anything like that. You'll start having issues. I mean, it could be in, you know, all sorts of areas, too. That you know, there's all sorts of ways to disobey the Lord. Like tomorrow, the sermon title, of course, the series is about how the lie becomes truth in today's world. I mean, I just got a letter, and this really irks me, but we got a letter the other day in the mail, and it looked like it was from the IRS or something, right? It had a big old 1040 on it and stuff, and it says dated material, open immediately kind of a thing. And it was just some car dealer trying to get us to go and buy a car. They're using lies to advertise, to get you to open the envelopes. It's become absolutely normal. And so, like, tomorrow, of course, tomorrow's topic in regards to if the lie, how the lies become truth has to do tomorrow with wine. We were actually talking a little about this last week, so I figured, hey, let's just do it this week then and really get into it. And I had to keep it at the one topic, otherwise I'd go too long. I could even go. I was even thinking of doing a one on tithing too, because a lot of people seem to think there's a movement out there where people declare you don't have to tithe in the New Testament. Really? Well, then how do the full-time ministers get paid? Because that is like, I'm even back with the Levites, and there is evidence in the New Testament in regards to tithing, and some people tithe in ways that are not biblical, and so they're not blessed. They may think, send this preacher that, you know, feeds us spiritually, because that's where you're supposed to tithe anyway. You're supposed to give the tithe where you're getting spiritually fed. That's just common sense, as well as spiritual command. And some people, you know, they'll send 10, 20 bucks a month to some pastors and preachers, because I have some preacher friends and stuff like that, and you wouldn't believe. I says, so what I understand is you made, say somebody sends 20 bucks. So you made $200 that month. No, you know they didn't. But then later on they start having all these issues in life, and especially in the financial area. Well, you forget the Lord. You know, there's promises in the Word, but there's also duty on our end too. You know, to obedience. Obedience has a lot to do with it, especially now in these last days when the work really is going to go forth. And even if certain people don't want to take part in the work, that's fine. The Lord will send somebody else. It's not our duty to enforce or force anyone. All we can do is tell the truth. So, but the nice thing here is the Lord has made provision for every day's demand. And it's amazing to see His hand move like that all the way from the butterfly wings to the mountains. Oh, and pray you were blessed.